I want to read just part of one verse found in chapter 5. And I want to read verse 6. Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 6. Here's what the Revelator said. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." I especially want to draw attention to that phrase in this verse that John said, in the midst of the throne and the beast and the elders, there stood a lamb as he had been slain. And I want to talk to you this morning about the language of the lamb. The language of the Lamb. I have found there is a trail that winds its way through the Scripture that frequently draws attention to this concept and this idea of the Lamb. I'm also fascinated, as the pastor mentioned, because of what I do as a teacher, I'm fascinated by language. And I guess it's because I spend so much time giving out assignments and grading papers and the such like. I'm getting all kinds of papers back from students. And it really is an art form, and it really is an acquired gift, but all you really need to have a strong paper is some good, strong sentences. Would you agree? And there's some things that really help to make a sentence good and strong. One of them, for instance, is something to end the sentence. That's always good. And so I have noticed with my students sometimes they have a tendency to not to end the sentence. Have you heard of run-on sentences? They just go on and on and on. Every now and then I put a little dot on the board. And I say, "What is this?" And they guess different things, and most of the time they can't come up with it. And I say, "Let me introduce you to this. This is a wonderful literary device. It's called a period." Right? And you know what? The good thing about this, it means you can stop. You don't have to keep going. And the good news is, once you use it, you can always start another sentence, right? The record used to be, for one of my students, for most words in a sentence, 84. That used to be the record. It no longer is. The new record is 91. 91 words in a single sentence. My students don't like the period. They like those squiggly things, the commas and the ands and the so forths and all of that. But every now and then what can make a sentence good and strong is just find a way to stop it with a good punctuation device like a period or something like that. Now, there's something else that every strong sentence needs. And to have any kind of sentence, really, I'm told all you need is a subject and a predicate. And another way to say that, you need a good noun and you need a verb. And you put a noun and a verb together, you can make a sentence. And so what I want to do in this message, I just want to come alongside and preach the gospel about this Jesus that I've heard about this morning. But I want to try to paint a picture just using literary device, the verb. It's a wonderful component of the language, and so I want to speak to you about the language of the Lamb. And what I want to do is just try to string together some verbs to tell the gospel story from beginning to end about Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, there's colorful action verbs that really make a book or a paper or a thesis good and strong, and then there's these other verbs that are helping verbs. They're auxiliary verbs. They're not nearly as strong and effective, but you have to have them sometime. And I want to kind of violate the spirit of my own message this morning. I have to start. The very first verb that I have to tell you about in regard to Jesus as the Lamb of God is one of these helping verbs. It's not a very strong verb. It's not a very colorful verb. What is it? It is, are you familiar with the auxiliary verbs? I know you didn't come to get an English lesson this morning, but there's 23 of them. I remember learning them over 30 years ago, and I still know them today. Is, am, are, was, were, be, being, been, has, have, had, do, does, did, can, could, will, would, shall, should. Right? Those those 23 auxiliary verbs. I have to pick one of those to start telling the story of the Lamb. And the very first verb I want to give you is, the Lamb was. The Lamb was. Before He did anything, He was. Do you agree? He was. You see, what does Genesis 1 and 1 say? In the beginning, God created. Now, created's a wonderful verb. But that's not the first verse in chronological order in the Bible. John 1 and 1 has to go before Genesis 1 and 1. Because John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Do you understand? Before God made anything, God was. He existed. And Jesus Christ existed even as the Lamb of God before He made anything. You say, I can't comprehend that. I can't either. But in this same book of Revelation, chapter 13, it said that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb was from the beginning. I tell some of my students sometimes, I say to the young ladies, one day, undoubtedly, many of you are going to get married, and you're going to have children. And one day, your little 2 or 3 year old is going to look up at you and is going to say, Mama, where did God come from? And I tell them, listen carefully what to answer when they ask you that. You ready? When your little child says, Mama, where did God come from? You are to answer, go ask your dad. Right? And I say to the guys, one day you're going to have a little one, and the little one's going to say, Daddy, where did God come from? And guess what I tell them to say? Go ask your mother. How many of you know you've got to do that because it's impossible to answer that question correctly to satisfy a young child? Why? Because how do you do it? You just say, well, God didn't come from anywhere. He just was, right? And they're not going to accept. They're going to say, yeah, but what does that mean? The Lamb was, before there was anything else, there was Father and Son and Holy Ghost, and in the mind of God, the Lamb was already there. Do you understand? Before God made the bird, He made the air for the bird to live in. Before He made the fish, He made the water for the fish to swim in. And before He even breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, in the mind of God, there was already a hill called Calvary, and a tree on the hill, and a Lamb that He would put one day to save a fallen race. The Lamb was. Now that I've mentioned that, I can go on and give you some stronger verbs. Let me move to the second verb. And that simply is the good news of the gospel. The Lamb came. You like that one better? The Lamb came. When we couldn't get to where He was, He came to where we were. The Lamb came. This is the incarnation. This is the Christmas story. This is the Son of God becoming a son of man, so we who were sons of men could become sons of God. It's Him coming down so we could go up. It was Him being made poor so we through His poverty might be made rich. It was Him suffering so we could be healed. It was Him being tempted so we could overcome. It was Him dying so we could live. The Lamb came. Somebody said, I think the most important thing that ever happened in human history was that man walked on the moon. How many of you know that's not true? The most important thing that ever happened in human history is not that man came and one day walked on the moon. The most significant thing is that God came and He walked here on the earth. Yeah, amen. Do you understand? The Lamb of God was here. He came. The Lamb came. On that starlit night on that Judean hillside with angels bending low, where are lambs born? They're not born in palaces or mansions or hotels or hospitals, but outside under the stars, out in a barnyard, out with other animals. That's where the lovely Lamb of God made His arrival here to planet Earth. But the world hasn't been the same since the Lamb came. Well, the Lamb was, the Lamb came, but I have to give you another verb. The Lamb grew. He grew. He came as a baby, but aren't you glad He didn't stay as a baby? We like the Christmas story. We like reading in Matthew and reading in Luke about the wise men and the shepherds and the angel and Mary and Joseph. It's like looking at the baby pictures of Jesus. But we don't want to keep Jesus as a baby. We are eternally grateful that He came, but we are ever more grateful that he grew. And Luke tells us that in chapter 2. He said he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and favor with man. I can't comprehend it, people, but Jesus grew physically. He grew intellectually. He grew socially with men. He grew some way spiritually with His Father. Jesus grew. He came as a baby, but He did not stay as a baby. He grew to become a man. Aren't you glad that Jesus, who came as a babe in Bethlehem, didn't stay a baby? But he grew. Have you ever noticed, you ever go to a family reunion or something and you haven't seen the family in several years? Do you remember, maybe it happens for some of you that are young now or when you were younger, and they would say, "My, how you've grown. I can't believe how you've grown," you know, and they haven't seen you like in 15 years. Wouldn't it have been more astonishing if you hadn't grown, right? In that 10 to 15 years, I can see why you'd be amazed there. But you know, I mean, if you haven't seen them in 15 years and they were in first grade and now they're married, it's not really a big leap, you know. The amazing thing is that Jesus grew. He grew in all of these ways. He grew to fulfill the mission that God gave Him to do for us. Well, the Lamb was, the Lamb came, the Lamb grew. Let me give you another verb. The Lamb walked. He walked. He walked one day when he finally reached the age of 30. Evidently, Jesus lays aside the carpenter tools and he makes his way to Jordan to be baptized of John. And John saw him, and the Father had revealed to John, "The one you see the dove set upon, identify him." And you remember what John the Baptist said? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And in verse 36 of John 1, it said, "The next day John saw Jesus walking, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" The first time the word lamb is used in the Bible, do you know where it is? It's in Genesis 22. It's another father and another son, and they're climbing the mount called Moriah. And it's Isaac and it's Abraham. And Isaac says, "Here, Father, here's the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" That's the first time the word is used. Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide a lamb." When you get to the New Testament, the first time the word lamb is used, would you believe Matthew does not use the word lamb? Mark does not mention the word lamb. Luke does not use the word lamb. The first time the word lamb is found in the New Testament is John 1 and 29, when John the Baptist sees Jesus, and it's almost as if he's hearing the question that Isaac asked centuries before, "Where is the lamb?" And he points at Jesus and he says, "There he is! Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Think about this with me. When Abel took a lamb and offered it on an altar, that was one lamb for one man. That night in Egypt on Passover, when that father took a lamb and he applied the blood on the doorpost, that was one lamb for a whole house. That day on the great day of atonement, when the high priest walked into the most holy place, that was a lamb for the whole nation. But did you hear what John said? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin, not just of a man, not just of a house, not just of a nation, but He can take away the sin of the whole world." That's the good news of the gospel. Now, here's the good news, people. If the world doesn't want the Lamb, and it seems like most of the world saying we don't even want anything to do with Jesus, the good news is nations can still say, "We'll take the Lamb. We'll take the Lamb." But what if a nation doesn't want the Lamb? And it sounds like a lot of voices in America are saying loud and clear, "We don't want anything to do with the Lamb." But there's good news this morning. If the nation doesn't want the Lamb, your house can still have the Lamb. Your family can still have the Lamb. There's even better news, people. If everybody in your house doesn't want the Lamb, there's good news. You, as a man or a woman or a boy or girl, you can say, "I still want the Lamb." I'm going to behold the Lamb of God. Have you seen Him walk? He walked up in Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. He even walked through Samaria one day. He walked up mountains. He walked by the shore. One day He even walked out on the water itself. He walked up the Mount of Olives to teach. But He walked up Mount Calvary to die. The Lamb walked. Let me give you another verb. Not only did the Lamb who was and came and grew, the Lamb walked. Let me give you another verb. The Lamb talked. Now you say there's nothing big deal about lambs walking. Every lamb I've ever seen could walk. Have you ever seen one that could talk? Have you ever heard of a talking lamb? I've read about one in this book. He had something to say, didn't he? As a matter of fact, when they went to arrest Him, they came back empty-handed and said, "Never a man spake like this man before." He said what? "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He said what? "You must be born again." He said what? "I will be thou clean." He said what? "I will come again and receive you unto myself." The Lamb had something to say. But there's something about it. The closer He got to the cross, the fewer miracles He did and the less He had to say. As a matter of fact, He stood in Pilate's hall and then was sent to Herod and back to Pilate, and in those hours right before His death, they tried to get Him to speak, but He said almost nothing at all. Do you know what they heard? They heard the silence of the Lamb. I know that Hollywood made a movie some years ago. I never saw it, but I heard about it, and it won awards, and called The Silence of the Lambs. And everybody was talking about that one. I really don't know what all that's involved with, but I do know about the silence of the Lamb. Isaiah said He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and He stood before the shearers like a sheep that was dumb, but He did not open His mouth. One of the greatest demonstrations of power in the life of Jesus was when He could have set Himself free. He did not. He just remained silent. Do you know there is power in silence? I found that out in the classroom. If my class is getting unruly and some of those younger undergraduates, and I really don't have to rant and rave and raise my voice to get their attention. All I have to do is... And the silence of the Lamb. Jesus standing before His shears, but He did not respond. The Lamb talked every step of the way, but at the very end, He's silent. Do you understand? He hasn't come to save Himself. He's come to save others. And He will not. He will not defend Himself. Well, the Lamb was, the Lamb came, the Lamb grew, the Lamb walked, the Lamb talked. Let me give you a sixth verb. The Lamb died. Yes, He did. The Lamb died. Now, this was not unusual in the sense that if you read the Old Testament, millions of lambs and bulls and goats had died. Animals had died in sacrifices to atone for man's sin. So the Lamb of God was going to die. His death, though, was voluntary. He had no sin. He said, "I've got the power to lay down my life and to take it up again." He didn't come to live. He came to die. He hung up on the cross. And you know, he's talking less and less at the end, but He does utter a few last sayings from the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He looks at a dying thief and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He looks at his mother and John the Beloved and says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." He cries out in the pains of suffering, "I thirst." And then he cried out in the middle of that ordeal as it got dark at Calvary. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His whole life he never referred to the Father as anything except Father. But there at the end he's saying, my God, why?" Evidently, he's bearing the sins of the world. They're laid upon him, and he's feeling separation from the Father in ways we cannot comprehend. But I do know this, people. The last thing that Jesus said was not that question. My God, why was not the last thing that the Lamb said? The Lamb cried something else before He died. Have you read about that? He cried with a loud voice, Matthew said, and Mark said, and Luke said, and John tells us what He cried. He cried, "It is finished." And then he said, Father, in your hands I commend my spirit. And he yielded up the ghost. Do you know what that cry means? It is finished. In the Greek, that's tetelestai. It means paid in full. Anybody making payments on anything? Does anybody? Do y'all do that here? It's fun to get stuff, but it's not fun to send in those payments, is it? Oh, for many months and sometimes for years. But did you ever pay anything off? Is there a better feeling outside of the grace of God than to send in the last payment? Oh, on something, and you get a statement back from the company stamped with the official seal that says, paid in full. Do you understand? That's what Jesus said, and that's what He did for us on the cross. When the Lamb of God died, He paid the price in full. Everything you need to get from earth to heaven, He bought it right there at that moment at Calvary. There was nothing else He could do. He did everything He could do, and now salvation is free, and forgiveness is available, and pardon and purity can be yours. The Lamb died. Well, let me give you another verb. How many of you know the Lamb didn't stay dead? The Lamb lived. Oh yes, I got excited hearing about the plan for Easter and what the pastor was talking about. For you see, for the child of God, every Sunday ought to be an Easter Sunday morning. The Lamb lived. Millions of lambs had died, but there was something different about this one. He did not stay dead. It didn't end on that fateful Friday. Sunday morning came. I preach to all kinds of congregations and people on a regular basis, and I'll be honest, Pastor, some of them look like they're living somewhere in between Good Friday and Easter. They look like they haven't heard the news yet. They look like it's still Saturday. I've come to tell you good news. The Lamb that was slain, He lived again. Something happened on Sunday that had never happened before. Very early in the morning, before it was yet day, the stone was rolled away. Not so Jesus could get out. It's rolled away so people could get in. The Prince of Life was quickened, and the Lamb of God is on the outside of the tomb. And He's saying, because I live, you shall live also. The Lamb lived, and He lives today. Well, is that the end of the story? No, I've got another verb for you, because you see, the Lamb was, He came, He grew, He walked, He talked, He died, He lived, and then 40 days after He came out of the grave, the Lamb left. He left. He was here just for a little while, and then He was gone. He left. He took His followers out to Bethany. He laid His hands on them. He blessed them. And then a cloud came down and received Him out of sight. And the Lamb was gone. He had just come. But He had finished everything that the Father sent Him to do. And then the Lamb left. He ascended up on high in power and great glory. The Lamb left. But He left behind His peace. He left behind His Word. He left behind the promise that the Spirit was coming. Oh, the Lamb left. He didn't leave His work left undone, but He left in fulfillment of the plan that He had. Now, I have to confess something. I did an unusual thing, probably not a permissible thing when it comes to preaching. I've given you like 8 points already, right? 8 different verbs. And I've got to tell you something, people. I'm not done yet, okay? I've got 2 more verbs that I want to give you. But when I try to teach a preaching class, I tell them, don't. If you have like 10 points, don't tell the congregation that at the beginning, right? People will check out on you. But I just brought it in kind of the side door, didn't I? I just snuck in 8 already, and now that I've got you, you don't want to leave without hearing the last 2 verbs. Am I right? I heard somebody say, oh, I don't want to hear any more 3-point sermons. Listen, if you ever hear one that has like 21 points, you'll be glad for a 3-pointer every now and then. Matter of fact, I've heard some that didn't have any points. If there was a point, I missed it. I didn't get it. But I've given you 8 verbs about the Lamb. The Lamb was, and then the Lamb came, and then the Lamb grew, and the Lamb walked, and the Lamb talked, and the Lamb died, and then the Lamb lived, and then the Lamb left. You say, what else is there? Well, Where did he go when he left? We can go out to Will Rogers Airport. You can watch an airplane take off. You can see it as it gains power and height and ascends into the heavens. You can watch it until it leaves your sight. But just as sure as there's a departure here, how many of you know there's an arrival somewhere else? And Jesus arrived somewhere when he left here. The Lamb of God, when he left, where did he go? Well, he went back to where he came from. He went back to glory. And the Bible tells us where he went. The Lamb went and he sat. Amen? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Henceforth expecting until his enemies are made his footstool. The Lamb sat down. What does that mean, you say? Well, it means he finished his work, people. It means that his earthly work was done and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, becoming a high priest forever to intercede on our behalf. Do any of you have a favorite chair at home? Anybody have a favorite one? Is it a recliner? Is it? It's got all the... Is there anything better at the end of a day when you've toiled and you've labored and the such like, but you make it home and you sit down in that chair and the work is done for the day and you just get to sit? Jesus the Lamb sat down at the Father's right hand. People, I'm just as sure that He is there as I'm sure that we are here today. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Lamb sat down. But I told you I had two verbs, so I leave you with the last verb, and I finally got back to my text in Revelation chapter 5. John looked in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, and the 24 elders. He said, there stood a Lamb as he had been slain. The Lamb was, the Lamb came, the Lamb grew, the Lamb walked, the Lamb talked, the Lamb died, the Lamb lived, the Lamb left, and then the Lamb sat. But people, the hour is coming and soon shall be. He's not going to sit forever. How many of you know the Lamb's going to stand up? Amen? I said the Lamb is going to stand up. In one sense, I think He stands up to welcome His children home like He did for Stephen. When Stephen said, I see Jesus and He's standing at the Father's right hand. And every time a child of God leaves this world, the Lamb in essence stands to welcome them. But the hour is coming and it soon shall be. The Lamb's going to stand up. And He's not coming just to get one at a time, but He's coming to get all of the people of God. You say, I don't understand this text. What does it mean? Do you understand that John's getting ready to see seals open and trumpets blow and vials poured out and beasts come out of the sea and all kinds of cataclysmic things? And you say, how did John make it? Even before he saw those things, he looked into the heavenlies and he said, there stood a Lamb as he had been slain. What does it mean, the Lamb standing in heaven this morning? I tell you what it means. It means you can sleep like a baby tonight. It means you don't have to toss and turn and worry and wonder about the future. There's a Lamb that's in control. The Lamb of God is in control. He's standing in heaven. He's seated at the right hand and He stands victorious. He is crucified and risen and ascended and He's coming back. That's the language of the Lamb. Do you believe it? Glory. Do you know this Jesus? Wave your hand at me if you know Him. Amen. Stand to your feet with me and let's worship Him. Can we do that? Just right where you're standing, right out of your heart. Lord, we thank You today. We praise You this morning. We glorify You today. The Lamb of God. We worship You because You were before anything was. We praise You because You came. Because You were willing to so condescend that You would grow. We're so thankful that You walked on this earth and You talked and spoke forth words of life. Most of all, Lord, we are grateful that You died and that You lived again. And even though You left us, You did not leave us without a comforter. But You, O Lord, have been with us by Your Spirit. We believe the Lamb is seated at the right hand of the Father. And there stood a Lamb in heaven that signifies all can be well upon the earth. We praise You this morning. We praise You. We praise You. Glory to the name of the Lord. Pastor, will you come and as you feel led, lead us to the throne. Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You today for...